Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
This morning I want to do a lesson based out of the context of Luke chapter 17 verses 1 through verse 10. And as we enter into our time of study of God's Word with one another, I want to ask a few questions as it relates to our faith. Have you ever been at a state in your life where that you wanted a greater faith? Admittedly, whenever I first became a Christian, I really was just excited about the fact that I believed in God and that in Christ I was able to have my sins forgiven. And I didn't put much thought into growing my faith, having a greater faith as I moved forward in and throughout the course of my life. It wasn't until I got older, you might say, that I really and truly started to think about that. Where am I with my faith? You see, I believe that it is God's desire for each and every one of us to aspire to have a greater faith as we move forward in and throughout our life and in our relationship with our God and our Creator. And also, though, I must say that there was a time where that I compared myself with others, and I trust that I'm not alone. Have you ever compared yourself with someone else and you found that your faith is inadequate compared to them? I want to say to begin with that I think that there are some pros and cons with respect to comparing ourselves with other Christians, that is. A positive would be is that if we're looking at a Christian who maybe has been a Christian for many, many years, and this individual has presented himself or herself as a rock in the church, as an individual who really and truly believes, and that they have expressed that belief and that they have demonstrated that belief, the positive in all that is that they give us a high goal to shoot for. However, in comparing ourselves to others, there's also a negative. And you might say, well, what is that? The negative would be is that if we're looking to an individual that maybe their faith is greater than us, but yet at the same time, they've been a Christian much longer than what we are, and that's to be expected certainly, but at the same time, they should be greater in regard to their faith. They should have a greater faith in where they are, and in that, my friends, they are a weak Christian, and we're only going to, at best, be able to come up to par with where they are. And that's not what God wants of us. God wants us to be the best person that we can be. God wants our faith to be the greatest that it can be, not compared to anyone else, maybe with the exception of compared to Jesus Christ, our Lord. This morning, as we think about having a greater faith, increasing our faith, have you come to a point in your life where that you feel that you want a closer relationship with our Creator? And I think that that's really, in essence, the question that all of us need to ponder as we're going through the lesson this morning, thinking about our faith. Where are you in your relationship with God through Christ? Where are you in regard to your love for God? Do you really and truly love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And if not, why not? And what are you doing in regard to this matter? Do you really and truly believe in our Creator? Not just to confess a belief in Him, but are you demonstrating that faith each and every day of your life? And have you seen your faith in God increased? The question then that we would need to answer, that we need to ask and answer, is what do you believe it takes to have a greater faith? I'm going to answer that in part to begin with, and then also to identify some other things as we go on through the lesson. In order for you and me to have a greater faith, in order for our faith to abound, so that we will understand our relationship with God greater, so that we will be able to have a greater relationship with God, and also so that God will be pleased with us, you and I must spend time in the Scripture every single day. We must put aside the world. We must put aside our busy lives. And we must invest in a personal Bible study of God's Word every single day, trying to understand the things maybe that we've not understood in the past. Going back and even looking at the things that we've read and that we've studied and taking second looks at those things, because I know that whenever I do that, I find gems. I find things that I didn't see before, which helps me to not only understand God's Word greater, but also helps me to have a greater faith in my God. If I were to ask you today, give me some names of people from a New Testament standpoint that you would say should have had the greatest of faith. Probably we would say the Apostle Paul. He wrote 13, possibly 14 books of the New Testament Scripture. He went on missionary journeys. What greater faith could a person have, right? We would also maybe say Simon Peter, because it was in Peter that Jesus says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And he used those keys the day of Pentecost to unlock, if you would, the door to the church. The church was established through his preaching and teaching as well as others. Both of those men that I've mentioned, who are they? I know Paul and Peter, but who are they? What did they do? From a New Testament standpoint, they were apostles. And therefore, if I ask you, who in your mind should have the greatest of faith, wouldn't we all say the apostles? But today I tell you that you might be surprised, is that these men also struggled with their faith as well as with their faithfulness unto our God from time to time. In the context of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and following, we find some commandments that are given from Jesus concerning sin as well as forgiveness. To begin with, he identifies is that offenses are going to come. In other words, people are going to say things, people are going to do things that they shouldn't do that constitute sin in the sight of our God. In this context, he warns very directly about causing a little one to stumble. And he identifies is that it would have been better for this individual if they had had something tied around the neck and then thrown into the sea. He says that the consequences concerning the individual who offends a little one causes those ones to question their belief in God. He says is that they have a judgment that is going to await them that's going to be very strict and going to be very severe. But my friends, also as you go on and read in regard to this context, he identifies that an individual who sins, that we have a huge responsibility to reach out to them and to rebuke them for their sin. And whenever they repent of their sin, whenever they understand what it is that they have done that's contrary to the law of God, and whenever they turn away from that, we see this in their life, then we are to forgive them. And somebody might say, well, what if they fall back to that? What if they keep going back either to that sin or to some other sin in their life? And here's what Jesus says. He says that if they come to you seven times in a day, then you must forgive them seven times also in a day. In other words, we must have a forgiving heart, as what God has a forgiving heart for each and every one of us. And then, right after all of this takes place, we learn that the apostles that I said a minute ago, we would expect them to have the greatest of faith. The apostles explicitly request, increase our faith. Admittedly, whenever I looked at that, I'm like, what are you asking this for? He's just told you concerning sin and offense and forgiveness, and now you say, increase our faith. What is that all about? My friends, I believe that it is a request for faith to meet the challenges that he's just posed before them. What is that? He says, don't be an offense. Don't be a stumbling block. Therefore, they say, increase our faith. He says, don't offend a little one. And yet at the same time, what do people do from time to time? Even today, sometimes people offend a little one. Teachers sometimes will teach things that are contrary to the law of God in the secular world especially. They'll teach atheism, they'll teach evolution and such, and it will draw people who maybe have been raised in the church, it will draw them away from God, and therefore, hence they violate the law of God themselves. And the apostle says, this can be a challenge, increase our faith so that we don't do that. And then also he says, forgive endlessly, be ready to forgive. And the apostle says, you know, it's hard. It's very difficult to forgive somebody once, but twice, three times, seven times in one day. Lord, increase our faith that we can handle these challenges, that we can do what it is that you expect us to do. They realized that it was going to take greater faith. They had faith, there's no doubt about it, but it was going to take a greater faith than where they were at this point. In regard to the context of what Jesus has commanded them, But my friends, also you and I know, as it would relate to what Jesus was going to expect of them in their works of the church after the church was established. Today we commend them, do we not? For recognizing where they were, for seeing that they needed to have a greater faith, but also we commend them for asking Jesus, if you're going to ask anyone to increase your faith, why not the Lord, right? They turned to the one that certainly had the ability to help them understand the type of faith that God was going to require of them, as well as of which God requires of each and every one of us. How did Jesus respond to them? Not exactly the way that we might expect. He responded with a hyperbole. In regard to the context, what does he say? He says that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and a little bitty itsy bitsy seed, he says that you will be able to say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. Now there's problems with that if you look at that. What's the problem? Well, to begin with, will a mulberry tree itself just uproot simply because we have faith and we say, be uprooted and then go be planted in the sea? Well, what's the problem with all that? You can't dig in the sea and be able to adequately plant it. But then in like figure, it's not going to be able to produce because it's saturated all the time with water. Water is essential for it, but also dryness that it might receive the sun rays to be able to produce. So what's he saying then whenever he presents this hyperbole? My friends, I believe that if what he's showing us is that if we have true faith, if they had true faith, if we have true faith in God, God is going to be able to help us to accomplish those things that might seem impossible for us. Admittedly, there are so many things that I cannot do by myself. But with God's help, with God's power, He brings me through those things and helps me to be able sometimes to accomplish His will to His glory and honor. And I know that I'm not alone in that. And why do we do what it is that we do with respect to God and allowing Him to work through us on all these things is because of our faith. And therefore, the greater that we have in regard to our faith, then the more that God's going to accomplish with and through us. But also, understand, I believe what he's saying is that if a person has deep faith, this deep faith leads to one being able to fully and faithfully obey his master. In this context, he also gives an illustration. And what is that illustration? This illustration goes, he says that if a master has a servant, that servant's been working out in the fields and plowing the fields all day, and then finally at the end of the day he comes in, is the master going to say unto his servant, sit down at the table and let's eat? He says, no, to the contrary. He's not going to do that because there's still things yet to be done. The master needs to be served his food. He needs to understand that he's a servant. And what's Jesus' point? His point is this, is that if you have a true, genuine, deep faith in God, you're going to obey your master no matter what. You're going to be faithful to him no matter what. And then realize is that in the end, is where you're going to be able to be a recipient of the reward. You see, the mature faith that is under consideration in this context serves through a servant's perspective. He says that I know that it's not about me. It's not about who I am or who I think I am or what I want to be in life. But rather, it is about serving God. He's the one who's created me. He's the one who takes care of me. He's the one who sustains me in life. And therefore, I need to make myself available to Him on an ongoing daily basis without end. I need to bow constantly before the great I am. And how do you do that? Lord, increase my faith. Amen. Give me an increase in faith so that I will be able to be the humble servant that you want me to be in life. Let's also think about it from this angle. From the biblical reflections that we find, think about faith in one's conversion. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul. For instance, Paul, whenever we first come to know him, he's identified in the Bible as Saul of Tarsus. And from a Christian's angle on Saul of Tarsus, would you say that you would like to have hung out with him or no? I wouldn't have. Yet at the same time, I'm going to say this about him. He believed in God. Was his faith in God where it needed to be? Absolutely not. And it wasn't until Jesus appeared before him on the road to Damascus in the context of Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through verse 18, that his mind begins to change. And whenever his mind begins to change, his faith continues to abound. And out of a growing faith, then, we find is that this man repents of his old sin and he fully embraces what it is that God wants him to become. Was he convinced that there was a God? Absolutely. In his conversion, was he convicted of his sins? Oh, there's not a doubt about it. But the conversion came in to a place where that we see a complete flip-flop in respect to who he was and who he became because of the fact that his faith continues to abound more and more. Let's also think about this then. Think about faith in our daily walk of life. Who all believes? If I were to ask you this morning to raise your hand if you're a believer, would you raise your hand? Who in here believes in God? Raise your hand. Okay. We all believe in God. Is that enough? Absolutely not. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says that the demons believe, so much so that they tremble. Well, what does that mean? They've never put Christ on in baptism. They've never belonged to God in the sense of what you and I belong to God. They could care less about obeying God. So to have a faith without obedience is not proper. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 says, Paul writing to those saints at Rome, he says he commends them for their obedience of faith. You see, not only did they believe, but they believed unto obedience. And in that context, a part of me believes that he's speaking about their being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And the faith, though, that God wants us to have is not only one that leads us to the water, not only one that drives us and motivates us, encourages us, pricks our heart, and we say, I've got to be baptized in order to be saved. God wants us to have a faith that says, I'm going to keep on engaging every single day in acts of obedience because of my belief in God. Then also let's think about another angle. Let's think about the Christian's prayer life. Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we're praying 24 hours, 7 days a week. But what it means is that we have a constant daily prayer life. Not only do we pray daily, but I believe that we need to be praying constantly throughout the course of the day, whenever we have opportunities, and that we also maybe need to create opportunities so that we will have time to go and to really and truly concentrate to meditate upon our prayer that we're offering before our God. Have you ever prayed, and then whenever you finish your prayer, you maybe don't feel so good about what it is that you maybe prayed for, or you don't feel so confident in maybe that prayer being answered? Well, to begin with, maybe you've asked amiss. Maybe we do that sometimes, do we not? We might ask things that really and truly we shouldn't be asking for. But if you've not asked amiss, if you've asked in accordance to the will of God, if you're dealing with a situation or you're getting ready to face this or that, and you pray to God and you say, God, listen, I'm really troubled with this, and I need your calm. I need your guidance. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Brethren, we ought to be able to turn loose of that, should we not? And to say, it's in God's hands. I'm pointing to myself here too. It's easier said than done, amen? Have you ever found yourself wondering and questioning and saying, did it get through? Or wondering and questioning, is it going to happen? Is it going to turn out the way that I want it to turn out? And God says, don't ask in doubt. James chapter 1 and verse 5. But rather ask in conviction and confidence, in compliance to the will of God, And then you don't have anything at all to worry about. That's true faith, is it not? Lord, increase our faith. But let's think about another area. Let's think about our faith in members of the Lord's church in our service and worship. Remember the rich young ruler who wanted to know what it is that the Lord required of him. And remember what he says. He says, all of these things as it pertains to the law, he says, I've kept from my youth. What one thing, Lord, do I lack? I'll tell you what it was. Faith in God. Faith in God. He says, I've done all these things, and yet at the same time, Lord, I don't feel right. What am I lacking? And he was lacking a true, genuine, deep, devoted, 100% commitment, faith in our God. He didn't embrace that, did he? He didn't do what the Lord wanted him to do. And sadly, sometimes I think that maybe we fit into that same category. Whenever it comes to our service to God, I'm willing to do, but I'm only willing to do so much. Where's your faith? I'm willing to teach. I'm willing to do this. I'm not willing to do this, or I'm not willing to do that. Where's your faith? Whenever it comes to worshiping God, where's our faith? Whenever it comes to the opportunities that God gives us to be together with those of like precious faith, where are we during those times? Where's your faith? You see, I truly believe that if our faith was in God as it is expected from God, is that our service would be greater and our worship of God would also be more faithful in all areas. I scratch my head sometimes, and Don and I even talk about it. And it's not just an East End thing. It's a universal thing. Is that I don't understand my brethren sometimes. And what makes us tick towards the world and what keeps us from ticking wholeheartedly for the Lord. And I guess maybe the greatest answer to that would be is that it's a lack of faith. If we really and truly believe in God and someday we'll stand before Him in judgment, should we allow anything or anyone to stand between us and God in all of these areas and more? Absolutely not. Increase our faith. I'll close with an illustration. A little girl and her daddy had gone spelunking. That's caving. And the daddy had jumped down into the hole and actually gone down with a rope. And he got down, he shines the light around and says that it's all clear down there. And he looks up to the daughter who's looking down in the hole, and it's dark in the hole, and she can't see her daddy. She can hear his voice, but she can't see him. And yet at the same time, because the dad's looking up out of the hole, he sees the daylight, and whenever the daughter's looking over the hole, he can see her. And he says to the daughter, jump. And she says, Daddy, no, I can't do that. Why? I'm scared. What are you scared about? Do you not think that I can catch you? And she says, no, Daddy, I just can't see you. And the dad says, I can see you. He says, I love you. I'm not gonna let you drop. She says, okay, Daddy, I believe in you. And she jumps. And the daddy catches her. And then they explore the cave together. We can't see God with our eyes, amen? We see the evidence of Him. We read of His Word, how that He exists. And here's what God says to us constantly. Jump. I see you. I know you can't see me, but jump. If you really and truly believe in me, if you have faith, to that end, jump. I've got you. We'll do this together. Lord, increase our faith that we might be the children that God wants us to be. Lord, increase our faith that we might be the servants that God expects us to be. Lord, increase our faith that I might be able to live faithful before you so that heaven will be our eternal reward. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you, so we will sing the invitation song here in a few minutes, that you might put Christ on in baptism this very hour. If you are here and you are an erring Christian, you need to be restored, we will pray with you and for you. And know full well that God will forgive you. If you're struggling in your faith and you say, you know, I just need the prayers of the church to help me to be stronger in whatever form or fashion, you can even meet with us privately and we'll pray with you there. We want your faith to be the faith that pleases God, that glorifies Him, that will lead you to an eternal reward. If you're here this morning subject to His invitation in any way, please come.